Good morning, everyone. It is around 4:30 in the morning on May 2nd, 2013. I hope all is well in your part of the world, although I realize right at the moment the world seems to be very confused and in a bit of a jumble with all kinds of unexpected things happening all over the place. Here in Winnipeg, we're beginning May with snow, which is highly unusual. Apparently, April was the coldest April that we have on record. And in a few days, we'll be jumping up to about 20 degrees centigrade. And then we'll all be able to sit around and complain about the heat. I've had only a few people write in with questions this month, which is good because I've been wanting to make a bit of a rambling statement on a non-dual perspective and what it can offer and what it can't offer. So this month I get my opportunity for that. I want to thank those of you who have written in with your comments of appreciation and to those people who have written in with their questions. I want to thank those of you who have written in with donations. And as always, I want to thank Marcus Fellows for establishing this website in the first place and for posting these comments, these responses each month. I also want to thank those of you who have written in to tell me that my view of existence is entirely incorrect, and for your comments as to what it is I should be doing in life, what it is I should be believing, and what it is I should be saying, and to those of you who are listening to this response, I want to once again state outright that whatever I offer in this is simply for your consideration. I'm not asking you to believe it. I don't say that anybody else should have this perspective. I'm simply saying this is one of the many perspectives that one might have about existence. If you relate to it, that's great. If you don't relate to it, that's great. A non-dual perspective is not the one true view of existence. From a non-dual perspective, there is no true view of existence because existence would have no explanation whatsoever, or it has no explanation whatsoever. No true explanation. And it's also the case that not everyone can have a non-dual perspective. It's not important that everyone has a non-dual perspective. It's just one of the many mysterious expressions of existence. From a non-dual perspective, all the expressions are ultimately the correct expression of existence because there is only the totally unexplainable, mysterious dance of what we might call this moment. And this totally unexplainable, mysterious dance expresses itself spontaneously, automatically, and it expresses itself in a vast range of appearances, passing appearances. A non-dual perspective is just one of the many expressions of existence. And so with that, let's get down to it. A first person has written in saying, "Hi, Daryl. Thank you for your wonderful answer last month. It was very helpful. I have another one for you. When I started to investigate this subject a few years ago, I started to notice this new energy in my body. It was very subtle at first, but has been growing slowly. And these days, it feels like this huge wave-like movement. It is difficult to describe where this energy is because it has a kind of transcendent quality in it. It feels like it is in and out of the body at the same time. It is most strongest every night when I go to sleep, and when I keep my eyes closed, it feels like my whole sense of existence is swaying slowly. I know that many traditions talk about this energy. In India, they talk about prana. In China, they say that it is the chi energy. And in Star Wars, they talk about the force. Maybe you could tell what you know about this mysterious energy. Thank you, Daryl." All right. From a non-dual perspective, we simply acknowledge what's happening in the moment. And so there's this invitation to ultimately acknowledge what's simply expressing itself in the moment. And usually we have a sense of the body as being one particular outline, a few basic sensations. This is with our usual focus in life. We're focused usually outwardly. We're focused on the world of thought. We're not paying a lot of attention to the full expression of the moment. So when someone encounters a non-dual expression, in most cases, there is at some point an invitation to really simply rest as the happening of the moment and to acknowledge the larger event of the moment. It's not just the world of thought. It's not just certain outward events. It's also this full event of the body. And resting, making no effort to explain anything, making no effort to do anything in particular, in that situation, the subtleties of the moment have the opportunity to present themselves. If there's an orientation to simply acknowledging all that is presenting itself in any moment, and in that situation, the body, which we have been assuming is just this kind of general shape and a kind of lump sum that feels perhaps heavy or tired or whatever, the body then may begin to present its subtleties. And so for some, although it begins in a very light fashion, these subtleties may begin expressing themselves more obviously, so that instead of having this sense of the body being a general outline and one lump experience, it begins to reveal that it's actually very subtle movements, very subtle vibrations, very subtle pulsations. So we have the rising and falling of the breath. We have a sense of heaviness, but there are also feelings of lightness in certain situations. There are feelings of tightness and looseness. There are feelings of warmth and cold. And there are also subtle sensations of vibration, pulsation, or waves of energy. So that over apparent time, the expression of the body is seen to be this moving, shifting, dancing event. Now, for most, this experience is quite subtle, and over time, it will become more obvious, so that it doesn't seem so subtle. And for some, the shift might become quite radical, so that these waves of energy, the pulsations, the vibrations, all of that, will become quite strong. And in those cases, it almost seems as though an energy has been released. Now, probably the most extreme description of this kind of experience would be found in Hindu traditions when they start speaking of Kundalini release, so that, you know, they will speak about energy being released from the base of the spine and moving up the spine to the top of the head. And they'll speak about various chakra centers up the length of the spine to the top of the head, so that, you know, they'll speak about these centers being held in certain ways, and that you have to release the energy in these centers, and eventually the entire body becomes experienced as a moving, shifting, pulsing event. In certain traditions, they talk about 7 chakra centers. In other traditions, they talk about 13 or 15 chakra centers. Other traditions won't mention chakra centers at all. They will just describe how the body is actually a moving, shifting, pulsing, vibrating event, and that if you sit down and you make no effort whatsoever, this may become obvious. In some cases, the pulsing, vibrating, waving event of the body becomes so obvious that it seems like it's all simply mixed up with the coming and going of sounds, with the coming and going of thoughts, with the coming and going of certain sights. And in those cases, the sense of actually having a body outline seems to be very weak, or it may seem to disappear for moments. And really just the large event of the moment without any particular form is expressing itself very obviously. Now, again, it's different for each person. And it doesn't have to be that everybody sits around not having a body form. It's just the acknowledgement that life is moving, shifting, and dancing, that it's an unformed event. It's a dynamic, a movement, a dance, the unformed ocean, the river of life flowing. And it may be that this presents itself in a very strong fashion for a moment, or it may be that in other cases it presents itself like this for what seems to be an extended period of time. For each person, it's different. For some, it may seem a very radical experience, and for others, it will remain a very subtle experience. There are some who will simply say that it's the electrochemical firing of all the cells in the body. Within certain Vipassana traditions, you have very intense concentration retreats, and within those retreat situations, within those very special circumstances, it may be that on the seventh day of extreme concentration practices, the body may be experienced or may express itself as simply vibration and pulsation only. Again, in some traditions, they will speak about energy being released, and in other traditions, they will simply say it's the actual expression of the body simply making itself obvious. There are traditions that will say that there are energy centers which are blocked, and they'll say there are 7 centers or 13 centers or 15 centers, and then there are other traditions which will simply say it's just the firing of the cells of the body, and so every cell in your body is a chakra center in a way, and it's not that they're blocked, it's just that the body is not usually acknowledged as the vibrating, waving, pulsing event that it is. It is also the case that often the most basic expression of the moment makes itself most obvious late at night or early in the morning. Late at night, the energies are waning as we're moving toward what we call sleep, and therefore the focus comes off the world of thought very naturally. Thoughts begin to fall away, and what we would call the basic physical expression of the moment makes itself more obvious. And so the body as a pulsing, vibrating event, and actually the entire moment as a pulsing, vibrating event, makes itself more obvious. And it's also the case that early in the morning when we first wake up and the world of thought hasn't pushed itself forward as strongly as it will in the middle of the day, in that situation, the focus isn't strongly on the world of thought. And so again, the most basic happening of the moment, the full expression of the moment, makes itself more obvious as this moving, shifting, dancing event. Subtle vibrations, warmth and coolness, tightness and looseness, heaviness and lightness, warmth, coolness, all of this is expressing itself just as strongly as passing thoughts. And as the day goes on, the attention usually moves more to the world of thought. And all of this other pulsing, vibrating expression is ignored to some degree. It's not that you always have to experience life as this pulsing, vibrating event, this very radical event. If you have a non-dual perspective on existence, because even the movement from experiencing life as this pulsing, vibrating event to more the sense of a body being a general lump that's heavy or hot or cold, even that shift is part of the bigger dance. But it is the case that for certain people, in certain moments, life will very radically be experienced as a pulsing, vibrating, waving event. So it's just the fullness of life making itself obvious. All right, another person has written in saying, "Hi, Daryl. I trust this message finds you well. I had the opportunity to read the introduction available on the internet of your book, Dismantling the Fantasy, and I would highly appreciate it if you would please share with me your perspective on disease, both inherited and acquired, and how can they be seen through? I hope I am making sense. Thank you so much for your time. Kindest regards." Okay, how can we see through this situation of disease, both inherited and acquired? Within generally non-dual presentations, they may often speak of seeing through the illusion of life. And I want to make it very clear that the illusion is our interpretation of existence. We have what we might call the happening of this moment. And within this happening of this moment, there is an apparent interpretation of the moment, so that we have a storyline about what's going on. And our storylines would most generally say that in this moment there is seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, and thinking. And then as these storylines become more complex, we move into stories of human beings living on the planet Earth, human beings directing their lives in a certain way, human beings relating to each other, human beings causing certain things to happen, human beings suffering the effects of certain behavior. This whole world of cause and effect, we identify each and every apparent form in existence. We give it a label. We talk about it having, you know, specific things, having specific causes. So we have this basic happening of existence, and we have this interpretation about it. There are moments when the thoughts will fall away, and yet it still feels like something is happening. And, you know, that may be a very fleeting experience for most, but for some, if they have the habit of sitting down in the quiet without making any effort to do anything, and they simply acknowledge the full event of the moment, there can be moments, there can be instances where the world of thought might fall away for a short period of time. And even without a thought, there still seems to be something happening in the moment without any interpretation. When a non-dual perspective is presented and it begins to perhaps say that there is a particular illusion that is presenting itself in this moment, and that it's possible to see through that illusion, it's not saying that the basic happening of this moment is going to disappear. It's basically stating that there's no way of saying truly what's happening in this moment. And so there's a questioning of some of our general assumptions about what's going on in this moment. And it begins to consider the fact that we say that everything is changing, so that becomes a challenge to the idea of form. We have this very deep underlying sense that everything in life is changing. As we experience our life and move through life, it becomes obvious that everything that we know of is changing in some way. Our bodies, our thoughts, our moods, our relationships, our work situations, the weather, the economic situation in the world, the planet, the solar system, everything is moving and shifting and changing in some way. Everything is either beginning, changing, or fading away. It's growing and maturing, or it is degenerating in some way. All of these words point to this moving, shifting quality that existence has. And so it becomes a challenge to viewing life as a bunch of set forms, as a solid thing that isn't changing. And within certain spiritual traditions and within a non-dual presentation, there's a real focus on this moving, shifting, dancing event, this underlying sense of existence, this underlying experience of existence as something that has no particular form. It's also the case that, you know, there's a consideration that when we apparently came out of the womb, we didn't have any storyline at all. So when we look at the labels that we've learned to speak, the labels that we've learned to bark, we might consider that these labels themselves have no particular meaning. They only take on meaning when they point to a particular form. And the labels themselves are different from one country to another, from one language to another. And that, in fact, if we all agreed, instead of saying words like disease, we could say something like blix or flute or wazzle. Instead of speaking about bodies and consciousness and objects, we could be using words like blix and flute and wazzle. And we might note that when we use words like body and consciousness and objects and disease, it seems as though we know what we're talking about. It seems as though we're understanding something. But if we just sit around and use words like blix and flute and wazzle, it would seem as though we're speaking gibberish. And this is just to point out that words like body and consciousness and objects and disease are also just gibberish. But somehow we, in using them over the course of an apparent lifetime, we get the impression that they really are telling us what life is all about. And within a non-dual consideration, with this kind of exploration, this kind of acknowledgement of how life is actually presenting itself, it may become obvious that the happening of this moment has no particular form, even though it appears to have form. Ultimately, it really has no form, and that we have no way of saying what's actually happening here. And so it is that we might come to say that we see through the illusion of a world, we see through the illusion of people, we see through the illusion of things that we might call disease. And what we see through is our usual interpretation of all of this. We see that the storylines are not telling us really what is actually happening here, and that the impression of form is not the most fundamental sense of existence that we have, that actually we have this deeper sense that everything is changing, and so the apparent forms are really not the ultimate truth. However, this does not get rid of the actual happening of the moment. It doesn't get rid of the happening that we call a body. It doesn't get rid of the happening that we call a world. It doesn't get rid of the happening that we call disease. It just leaves us with the impression that there's no way of saying what this happening is. And the happening goes on presenting itself spontaneously, automatically, as it always has presented itself. We haven't created our apparent body and brain. We haven't created our apparent needs, our interests, our concerns, our abilities, or our lack of abilities. We're not making this moment happen. And in fact, if we sit down and make no effort to do anything at all, everything that we apparently are will present itself anyway. And at some point, there will be an urge that arises that's so strong, we won't be sitting down. We'll be up and apparently participating in the world in general. So the happening, the actual happening of life, doesn't disappear. But from this non-dual perspective, we're left with the impression that there's no way of truly saying what that is. And in fact, the storylines that we normally have, those don't disappear either. Those continue to present themselves, but we may realize that even that is a totally mysterious event that can't be truly described as anything in particular. And that all of this, the entire event of this moment, is presenting itself spontaneously. We're not causing it to happen. So that what is acknowledged is an undivided, unformed happening, a moving, shifting, dancing event that is simply spontaneously occurring. And there is no way of saying in any true fashion what this is. It just is what it is. And it is with these simple considerations of what our actual experience of life is that we see through, we may apparently see through, the usual storylines that we carry. So we see through the illusion of people. We see through the illusion of a world. We see through the illusion of things. We see through the illusion of health and disease. Even though those storylines may still present themselves, the underlying sense of existence is that all of this, and that includes the storylines, is simply an unformed and totally unexplainable happening. And so it is in this way that we see through the illusions in life. But that doesn't get rid of the actual happening of the moment. The actual happening is everything that we're basically experiencing right now, including the storylines. It's just that for most of us, the focus is entirely on the storyline, and we believe that that storyline is telling us in some true fashion what is happening in this moment. From a non-dual perspective, that happening will continue to present itself, but there will be an underlying sense of absolute puzzlement, that there is no way of truly saying anything about this happening. So that's all that's coming up in response to this question, and so we come to the final question. So someone has written in saying, "Hi Daryl, much appreciation to you for all that you share. One question, please. Is there any truth to creating specifics in the world via one's projection? My guess is that we create our interpretations and thereby our reactions to things, but that we don't actually create or manipulate what is actually appearing. Is this correct? Thanks so much, Daryl." So again, from a non-dual perspective, and please keep in mind there are a lot of different perspectives on life, and a non-dual perspective isn't the only one. It's not necessary that you have this perspective, but if we're going to consider what we would call a non-dual perspective, we're not really creating anything in this moment, so that not only are we not causing any particular thing to happen in the world, even our interpretation of what's happening in this world or what's happening in this moment is not our creation. And that's why it is that someone with a non-dual perspective, if they're presenting it generally, they're not going to tell you that everybody should view life in this way, because even the arising of a non-dual perspective is not our doing. So once again, we don't create our body, we don't create our brain, and we don't create the way that it's working in this moment. And even if we have an urge to try to control it in some way, we don't create that urge. One person might have the urge to monitor every passing thought in the moment, and another person has the urge to train as a high jumper for the Olympics. Now, we don't create those urges. Another person might have the urge to collect stamps. Someone has the urge to go hunting and fishing. Someone has the urge to make a lot of money. Someone has the urge to live what is termed a spiritual life. And we don't create those urges. As Schopenhauer pointed out in the late 1800s, you can do what you want to do, but you don't create your wants. And so it is that if we have an urge to interpret life in a certain way or to view life in a certain way, if we have that inclination, we don't create that inclination. And if one view of existence makes total sense to us, we can't just snap our fingers and have a different view of existence make sense to us. What has value to us, what makes sense to us, is simply presented by this larger mysterious dance of existence. All of it is a totally mysterious, unexplainable event. Usually, there's a focus on the world of storylines, and the storylines usually have some notion of cause and effect, so that we have the impression that we create certain situations in existence. Through our attitudes, and we consider this to be in line with this notion of cause and effect. With our attitudes, we cause certain things to happen in life. However, that's not the chain of cause and effect, because if we really do believe in the chain of cause and effect, we have to be part of the chain. Everything we are is part of the chain. We don't exist as something outside of life. We're also a portion of the movement of life, so that if we say, I cause something to happen with my attitudes or my interpretations or my perspective, we also then have to say that something else caused my attitude, caused my perspective, caused my interpretations, because that would be part of the cause, the chain of cause and effect. So if you want to look at life in terms of cause and effect, it's probably important to use the entire chain of cause and effect instead of focusing on one small portion, two little points, one cause and one effect, such as me causing something else to happen. Because in the actual chain of cause and effect, I am also the effect of another cause. And so it is. We don't cause our body and brain. We don't cause any particular thing that we are. That is the effect of some other cause. To say that I am causing something to happen would be to say that I am the prime mover of the universe, that I make the universe move. And I think most of us will agree that we're not doing that. If we really do use the entire chain of cause and effect, we will eventually come back to the happening of the universe as the primal cause. So in general, scientists will say that everything is moving to the laws of nature or the laws of the universe. And again, the word universe literally means undivided turning. So it's simply saying that everything is caused ultimately by the undivided turning of this moment. So everything is caused by the laws of this undivided turning, the laws of nature. From a non-dual perspective, it just takes it one step further and says, well, even this description that there are laws isn't quite true. Ultimately, there's no way of saying anything at all about this undivided turning. And so it is, there's just this great happening the way it happens. Now, that's almost the same way, or it's almost the same perspective as the world of science, because it's saying ultimately there is this universe, this undivided turning, and everything is moving to its laws or its nature. So whether you remain within the world of cause and effect, the complete chain of cause and effect, or you simply drop all the interpretations of existence, we're left with an undivided turning or a formless happening, and that is presenting everything. And that's all that's arising in response to this question. So that brings us to the end of the questions that were sent in this month. And as I said earlier, I want to just present some general considerations regarding this non-dual perspective. There seem to be, there seems to be a mixed bag of things that is being presented as a non-dual perspective in the world. I mean, not that I follow what's being presented too much, but from the questions that are being sent in, it seems as though people are left with a lot of confusions regarding non-duality. Again, there are a lot of different perspectives in life, and a non-dual perspective is just one of the perspectives. From a non-dual perspective, you can't even say that it is the one true expression of existence, because it would ultimately be simply one of the many unexplainable, mysterious expressions of existence. However, this label non-duality, this points to a particular perspective on life. And if we look at the oldest ways of using this label, a non-dual perspective has certain basic aspects throughout history. It doesn't really matter if it was presented in a tradition or it was presented by certain apparent independent teachers. This non-dual perspective carries with it certain basic factors. In all cases, it will ultimately state that there's no explanation for existence, no true explanation for existence, that ultimately all the descriptions of existence, all the intellectual considerations of existence are false as far as describing any actual reality. So whether it's the Buddha declaring that descriptions don't apply, or Ashtavakra in the Ashtavakra Gita stating outright that none of this can be explained in any way whatsoever, that it's not even a situation of duality and non-duality, or whether it's the physicists of the world gathering together in Copenhagen to debate whether or not their views of existence have anything to do with reality, and all of them basically agreeing that no, the theories about existence are not reality, that there is no way of actually describing a reality, or whether it's Christ saying that everything is like the movement of the wind and that you can't say where it's coming from, you can't say where it's going to, and that the fundamental ground of existence is God, and God cannot be explained in any way whatsoever. In all cases, ultimately it states that what's happening here cannot truly be explained in any way whatsoever. So as it states within certain Taoist teachings, to think about the Tao, you gain nothing. You gain nothing by thinking about the Tao. You gain nothing by thinking about what is actually happening here, because there's no possible way to explain it. It's not telling you that you shouldn't think about what's happening in life. It's just telling you that nothing is really gained by thinking, by attempting to think about what's actually happening here. You can think about it all you want, but you will never actually be able to explain what's truly happening. Another aspect of this non-dual perspective is that ultimately we're not anything separate from the big event of this moment, that we are also a presentation of this moment, that we're not causing this moment to happen. We don't cause our body, and we don't cause our brain. We don't cause how it is that they function. And even in situations where it looks like we're influencing how the moment is happening, our actions, we don't cause our apparent actions. So within that world of cause and effect, whatever it is we're doing that looks like it's causing something else, we're not causing ourselves to behave in this way. So that the urges that we have to move in a certain direction, the needs that we have that push an apparent action, we don't cause those. We don't create those. Those are simply part of the expression of this larger event, whether you want to call it the unformed ocean of existence or the universe, the laws of the universe. It doesn't really matter. It's stating that we're not causing ourselves and therefore we're not causing anything else. So whether it's some tradition that's stating that we can step off the wheel of life and death, we can step off the wheel of cause and effect, or it's the yoga teaching that states that we come to acknowledge the cloud of virtue, basically the pure expression of the universe, or the pure expression of God, or the pure expression of the unformed ocean of existence, this moving, shifting, dancing event that can't be explained in any way. If we come to acknowledge that it's presenting itself spontaneously, we can't say there's anything wrong with it. It is all the natural expression of whatever this is, and that we are not causing any of it to happen. You know, it might be Christ saying that the wind blows wherever it blows. You can't say where it's coming from and you can't say where it's going to. And it's exactly the same for everyone born of spirit. And in other traditions, they will say that everything is born of spirit, because there is only this great unformed, moving, shifting, dancing presence, something that we might call spirit, because that's actually a pretty good name for a moving, shifting, unformed presence. In all of these cases, they're attempting to point to the spontaneous expression of all of this, that it's happening spontaneously without human beings causing it to happen. And that's true even in the case of a human being, that we don't cause ourselves to happen. We don't cause our needs, our interests, our urges, our loves, our abilities, our lack of abilities. All of this is a spontaneous dance of something that can't be explained in any way whatsoever. So again, this is another factor of this non-dual perspective. And then the third one I would like to mention is that in all of these ways of expressing non-duality, they ultimately come to say that in a deep realization of this, if you're really drawn to this, if you really relate to this perspective on existence, that ultimately you will live a life of contentment. As the Taoists say, a mature person will live a life of serenity, awaiting the decrees of heaven. Now, the decrees of heaven are simply, that's simply the expression of this totally unexplainable, formless dance of this moment. This happening that's happening spontaneously. Within other traditions, they might say that you realize that everything is God's will or God's being. And therefore, you simply await God's direction. again, this is a way of saying that everything is happening spontaneously. God is the basis of existence. God is the word for this totally unexplainable, formless, moving, shifting, dancing event of this moment. That everything is this formless presence. And that's what expresses all things. Or we might have Ashtavakra once again in the Ashtavakra Gita declaring that once realizing that no action is really committed by anyone, he lives with whatever action is presenting itself. And that includes his own actions. Now, to make this, bring this down to the actual happening of this moment, if you sat down and you make no effort to do anything at all, you're not going to sit there forever, because at some point the urge will come to get up, to leave the room, to either go to the toilet or go make a meal or go hang out with your friends or go to work. There's no way we're going to sit in that room forever without anything else happening, because everything that we are, everything that we do is the spontaneous expression of something that we can't explain. So the urge to move in a certain direction is going to arise, and an urge that's strong enough to move in a certain direction is going to arise all on its own. And so it is that in realizing that we do not cause ourselves, in realizing that everything we are is simply presented, the person who relates to that perspective, the person who is that perspective, or has that perspective, however you want to say it, if there is this sense of existence simply occurring spontaneously, and that includes everything that we are, then there isn't any concern about what direction your life should go, because it's only going to go the way that you're expressed. There isn't any regret about having gone the wrong direction, because there is no wrong direction. There is only the natural expression of this greater mysterious happening of existence, this totally unexplainable happening of what we would call this moment. And even if we make no effort at all, the moment doesn't stop presenting itself. All of the various happenings of this moment just present themselves. So there isn't any concern about what your direction of life should be or shouldn't be, and there isn't any concern about what it was, apparently was, because there is only the natural expression, the spontaneous expression. And I know people don't like me using this word, but there is only the automatic expression of the happening of this moment. We're not causing it to happen. We don't cause ourselves, and we don't cause anything else. It's just a totally unexplainable, formless dance. Spontaneously occurring. So these are the three basic aspects of what traditionally would be known as a non-dual perspective. The first being that this is a totally unexplainable happening. There is no true way of saying anything about what is happening in this moment. That's the first aspect. The second aspect is that we do not exist. What we assume to be us this, we do not exist as anything apart from this totally unexplainable formless event. Therefore, truly, we also are this totally unexplainable formless event. And the third aspect is that all of this is occurring spontaneously. That it's not a matter of us causing any of it to happen. It's not a matter of us influencing any of it. It is simply this totally unexplainable, formless event or happening, this dynamic, this vibrant liveliness of this moment presenting itself. Now, I know that a lot of people have the impression that, you know, when they hear this, they think, oh God, then it's all hopeless. We can't influence it, and so it's just a hopeless situation. But it's not a hopeless situation. What it is a totally magical event that presents both ups and downs. Somehow we get the impression that if we're, you know, we're thinking that we're in charge of it, and if we're not in charge of it, then somehow it's a totally hopeless event, that the whole thing is going to spiral into some negative situation. But the fact of the matter is that it's never been our doing. The whole thing is, in some ways, a magical event, just spontaneously happening, and that includes everything that we are. It includes all the urges that we have to move in any apparent direction, all the apparent urges that we have to move in any apparent direction. It includes all the apparent urges of humankind to behave in a certain way. And that presents itself in what we would call both joyous, wonderful experiences and horrific, terrible experiences, and we never really know what's coming at any particular moment. Ultimately, all of it is a totally unexplainable happening that has no particular form. So all of these apparent forms that are being gained and lost, it's not really a situation of forms coming into existence and forms disappearing. What it is the ongoing presence of something that has no form, that ultimately this has no form. And it's just this ongoing expression of whatever this is. Now again, this is from a non-dual sensibility. And a non-dual sensibility is not going to declare that it's the one true view of existence, because it's already declared that there is no explanation for what's happening here. From a non-dual perspective, there isn't even somebody with a non-dual perspective. Whatever this is, whatever the happening of this apparent moment is, this apparent happening of this apparent moment, there's no way of really saying what it is. And so all the notions of duality and non-duality, those don't truly exist. That's a fantasy. All the notions of people being ignorant and coming to awakening, that's just another storyline. It's just another fantasy. The whole notion of it being a situation filled with hope or a situation being filled with hopelessness, that's just another storyline. It's just another fantasy. There's no way of saying what this is. And yet here it is happening. And yes, it's true that in this spontaneous dance of the moment, it seems as though there are terrible things that are occurring, things that we don't have ultimate control over. But it's also true that in certain moments there are apparently wonderful, beatific, golden, glowing moments, moments of love, moments of pleasure, moments of clarity that we're also not creating. These moments of joy, moments of rapture, these are also the legitimate expression of this totally unexplainable, formless dance of existence. And we don't really know what's coming. Now, also within this non-dual perspective, there's another aspect that is pointed to in some cases with certain teachers in certain traditions, but it's not generally expressed in all non-dual presentations, and that is that within the world of apparent form, each of us is unique. So that within a Zen tradition, they might say that your treasure house is already within you. Why look anywhere else? So they're very specifically pointing to the fact that each and every one of us is a unique expression, and that it's not necessary for us to look somewhere else for our life, that in this moment, the particular needs, interests, concerns, urges, abilities, and lack of abilities that we are, like within this world of apparent form, these apparent forms are already existing within us in this moment. They're already functioning in us in this moment. And it's the movement of those apparent forms that will fulfill our lives, that each of us has a unique, even though we have certain apparent shared needs, each of us have other needs that are unique to us. We have unique interests, unique concerns, unique abilities, and a unique set of a lack of abilities. And all of that is already existing within us, so that we don't have to look to someone else. We don't have to try to be like someone else. This is an acknowledgement of our exotic expression. A non-dual perspective is ultimately an acknowledgement of your particular adventure in life, your particular capacities in life, your particular potential in life. So within this world of apparent form, even though that world of form is actually formless because everything is changing, within that world of apparent form, each of us is a unique expression. And so rather than being a situation of hopelessness, it is also a situation of our unique adventure. Each of us has our unique journey, our apparent journey through life. Each of us has a unique potential. And even though we may be very different from other apparent forms, other apparent people, within our own particular expression, each of us gets highs and lows. Each of us gets certain things that are very meaningful to us, other things that have no meaning whatsoever. Each of us has certain talents, and each of us has a lack of talents. And all of this is simply offered in this totally unexplainable, formless dance of this moment. So So rather than being a situation of hopelessness, it's a situation of unexpected possibility. There is this magical presentation of this moment. We do not exist as anything apart from this magical presentation of this moment. It's just happening the way it happens. It has apparent highs, it has apparent lows. There are moments that we will find to be wonderfully blissful, incredible pleasures, incredibly meaningful encounters, and there are moments that are terrible, situations that we hope to avoid but we can't avoid, situations of great pain, great emotional pain, as well as physical pain, and situations of apparent difficulty. All of this is part of the dance. The thing is that we don't really know what's coming next. And even in moments of great difficulty, there can be instances of great pleasure or realizations that have apparent realizations that have great meaning to us. Apparent encounters with others that are filled with love, filled with caring. Along with all of the other crap. So that you might say that the eventual goal of all spiritual exploration, the eventual outcome of a non-dual realization, the eventual outcome of awakening or so-called enlightenment, is the happening of this moment just as it is. The ordinary, everyday happening of your life, ordinary, everyday you, is the goal of all spiritual exploration, all spiritual practice. It's simply to come to realize that this moment is not a bunch of people deciding the direction of their life. It's not a bunch of people living in a world. It's not a bunch of people experiencing this or that, experiencing duality or non-duality, experiencing joy or sorrow, that ultimately it is a totally unexplainable happening that is spontaneously expressing itself, and that we don't exist as anything apart from that. Now, this is not something that you have to gain or reach or attain. This is what already is. From this non-dual perspective, they're simply declaring that this is what already is. This ordinary, everyday happening of this moment is already the divine expression. It's already the unformed ocean of existence. It's already God or the Great Spirit or Atman, whatever you want to call it, your ordinary, everyday happening, the happening of this moment, as ordinary and unexciting as it might seem to be in this moment, this is the divine presence. This is the expression of God. God simply being a word for a totally unexplainable, unformed or formless happening, a dynamic, a liveliness that can't be explained in any way whatsoever, simply presenting itself the way it presents itself. Again, within Zen traditions, they would declare that samsara, the world of life and death, samsara, the world of suffering, that is nirvana. It's exactly the same happening. The only difference is that within this so-called world of awakening, within this so-called story of someone with a non-dual perspective, within that apparent world of form, there's simply this shift in understanding. It's the realization that the usual storylines are not true, and that fundamentally there is just this happening expressing itself, that there's no way of saying what it is. The happening of life doesn't disappear. The happening that we call pain and pleasure, the happening that we call people and a world and thoughts and all of that, that doesn't disappear. The happening goes on presenting itself. It's just that there's no longer the belief that it can be described, and there's no longer the belief that we exist as anything apart from it, and there's no longer the belief that we're causing it in any way. Within other traditions, they might say, there is only God. Again, God being the word for a totally unexplainable, unformed happening, the happening of this moment. There is only God doing what God does. So within the Bible, it declares outright that human beings do not direct their life. That ultimately it is God's doing, and God, within the Bible, cannot be explained in any way whatsoever. The basic statement is, they have God saying, I am the I am. I am the amness of this moment, the isness of this moment. That can't be explained in any way whatsoever. Nothing else is happening. So again, we have Christ saying, the wind blows wherever it blows. You can't say where it's coming from, you can't say where it's going to, and it's exactly the same for everything born of spirit. So, within the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible, you have somebody saying, yeah, I looked for love, I looked for power, I looked for wisdom, I looked for all of these things, and there was really nothing to be found. It was like chasing the wind. There was nothing substantial there to hang on to. There was nothing substantial there to make, you know, this person is declaring there was nothing really that I could hang on to or that would give me security or make me happy all the time. So ultimately within the book of Ecclesiastes, this person states that just do what you have to do, enjoy what you can, and endure the rest. Because that's just the basic fact. In certain Buddhist traditions, they have the Buddha declaring that he gained nothing at all through enlightenment. Why is it he gained nothing at all through enlightenment? Because the realization is that there is just the happening of this moment. There's no way of truly saying what this is. It's simply presenting itself. We're not causing it to happen. So even within this apparent world of form, even within the storyline of someone being ignorant and coming to awakening, it isn't someone who is ignorant coming to awakening. It is just the expression of a totally unexplainable happening. the Buddha is declaring that he didn't do anything. All of this, he's left, and anyone with a non-dual perspective, what is considered to be historically a non-dual perspective, is left not being able to describe existence in any way whatsoever. It is simply an unexplainable happening that has no particular form. It is moving and shifting and dancing all on its own. And this, even to say this, is not to try to explain it. It's simply pointing to this happening that's presenting itself, that can't be explained. The ordinary, everyday happening of life, the ordinary, everyday happening of this moment, just this happening happening. There's nothing to be gained there, because all of it is a totally unexplainable happening presenting itself. As many traditions will declare, nothing is gained and nothing can be lost. So that's enough. I could ramble on about this. We could approach this from a number of different directions, but all of it is ultimately pointing out that there is no true explanation and there is nothing caused in this moment. There's just this happening. Again, all of this is just for your consideration. I'm not saying that this is the one true view of existence. I'm not saying that you have to believe this. I'm simply saying this is one of the mysterious expressions of existence. Either you relate to it or you don't relate to it. So that's all, folks. I wish you only good things for the coming month. However, as always, I know that it's going to be a mixed bag of things. So until next time, take care. Bye.